Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today an old friend, Nathan Littleton. Good day to you, sir.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be with you.
It's super to have you. And Nathan, for the benefit of listening that may not have come across you, you and me go back a long way, but just tell people your areas of expertise and your background.
Well, we go back longer than I think we'd care to admit, I'm sure. So my background is all around marketing. I have a reasonably unique story of having started a business when I was 12 years old. And that was originally a website design business, but it developed into wider marketing and more specifically email marketing. And that is generally the business that I run today. I'm a speaker, I'm a trainer, I'm an author of two books. And all of my business is built around helping businesses, including accountants, to generate more leads and sales.
From what you see of businesses, Nathan, you deal with all kinds, as you say. Are accountants any different to other business owners?
The main thing that I observe about accountants is they tend to be less likely to differentiate themselves from each other. And that in itself represents a huge opportunity, because those that do differentiate themselves in what they offer and the problems and opportunities that they solve for their clients helps to really position them outside of their peers.
And presumably when you talk about marketing, if you can get it right for accountants, you can serve pretty much anybody, can't you, with what you do?
That's absolutely the case. Yeah. Accountants are a fine breed, but there are so many opportunities for them to do something different. And if you can get it right for accountants, you're absolutely right. It should be easy for everyone else too.
Why do accountants and other sectors find it so hard to stand apart? Because you look at an accounting firm website, a law firm website, even some SMEs, they all look really samey, don't they?
They absolutely do. And I'm not entirely sure why that is. But we're in an interesting time now, because the level of trust that people have in businesses as a whole, particularly with professional services, is that there's less trust than there ever used to be. So that means that we do have to work a little harder to be able to build trust and credibility in what we do. Mm. And your website is just one of the starting points with that. If your website looks the same as everybody else's and it says exactly the same things as everyone else's, that's when you have a problem.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about credibility marketing today. This is your brand, isn't it? This is the stuff that you're really, really good at. So just start with a definition for us.
So credibility marketing is really built on this problem that I'd observed around lack of trust. And I found an interesting stat, which was that brands lose $2.5 trillion each and every year simply as a result of lack of trust. And I do think this comes from the interesting time that we live in with fake news, fake media, fake advertising that is building up this different set of expectations that people have around firms. So we need to do something different. If people don't believe what we say about ourselves and how good we are at what we do, then we need to do something different to make sure that they do have trust in us and that we are credible.
I like that you put trust at the center of that. We know from research that trust in the government is at an all-time low, trust in the education system, the judicial system, marriage and relationship breakdown, fidelity, loyalty, all of this, trust in what the politicians are telling us, trust in what the police are doing. It's a real problem.
Absolutely right. And that's why I created credibility marketing, which is at its core, it's a set of principles that means we can take a different approach to marketing that is more believable and is more credible.
Well, what makes somebody believe? What gives somebody faith in a brand, in a proposition, in a website or a company? Is it to do with people or is it more of a corporate thing?
It's a combination of things. But if I take the approach that people are less likely to believe what we say about ourselves, then it stands to reason that people are more likely, in fact, four times more likely, to believe what someone else says about us.
Right.
So the core of credibility marketing is making sure that our best customers are our marketing force as well as just being our customers. So the key to credibility marketing is around giving shareable experiences. That's the one that I talk about most. If we give experiences to our customers that are genuinely shareable in that they meet this little split second time where someone feels compelled to share something about us, whether that's on social media or whether it's just in conversation around the dinner table. If there is a genuine spark there that makes someone want to tell an anecdote about an experience they've had with our business, then that's where a little bit of magic happens. Mm. So if people are talking about us, that's where our marketing is more credible and more powerful.
Well, the game has changed, isn't it? If we look at how things are different now than what they used to be, we've got the internet now. Word of mouth used to be, who do I know in my my neighborhood, my street, my next door neighbors. Who do I play golf with? Who do I go to school with? Who can I touch and feel and see? But these days, opinions are everywhere. Reviews are everywhere. Everything's instant. Everything's online. Talk to us about how things are different now than when they used to be.
Well, it used to be that you could quite simply put an advert in the Yellow Pages and that would be enough to generate business. And the old film, Field of Dreams, around build it and they'll come, has created a dangerous precedent for businesses in the 20s as we are now. So we do need to do something different because people don't believe things like Yellow Page ads. Just having your name in there isn't going to be enough. So we need to be doing things that are different and that are separating us from other firms within the industry. But quite simply, we need to be making sure that we're owning the space where people look for information. You're absolutely right that we are saturated with information. We see so many different messages, whether it be on billboards, on social media, on the internet, and in conversation with friends, that we need to make sure that as organizations, we own the space where people actually look for information about our product. So ask yourself that question around, when a customer is looking for my product or service, where are they going to look first for that information? Are they going to ask a friend? Are they going to go to a trusted forum or a trusted review site online? Where's the first place that they look for information, and how likely am I to appear at the top of that list?
So how do things like the internet and mobile make that easier or more difficult?
They make it easier by virtue of the fact that there are a huge number, hundreds if not thousands of new avenues where we can be visible to our target market.
Yeah.
But where it makes it harder is exactly as we've just said, the fact that those channels suddenly become saturated. But if we know where people are looking for the trusted sources of information, that helps us to prioritize where we should spend our efforts.
So in credibility marketing, you talk about shareable experiences. Is there a methodology, a process, or key areas they need to be working on? Talk us through what you do when you work with your clients, Nathan.
So we look at their customer process as a whole, from the point at which they would first encounter the business through their marketing, all the way through to post-sale, and even 5 or 10 years in the future. What are the things that we're doing as part of the customer process? And then we look at the possible opportunities for creating shareable experiences. One of the first that we tend to look at is around personalization. So what are the avenues you can use to personalize the experience you're giving to your individual customer so that it's not just a catch-all approach? And one of the examples I tend to give on this is around proposals. I know a number of accountants will put together a proposal to say, here's what we can do for you or your organization. And more often than not, the proposals that I see have the supplier's name and logo on the front of those proposals.
You're not wrong.
Absolutely right.
They're pretty standardized and templated, aren't they?
It is. And yet what a simple but powerful change we can make if, rather than having the supplier, the accountant's name and logo at the front, to have the prospect or the client's name and logo at the front. It's just such a simple thing, but it makes that customer or potential customer feel special and could even get the odd sale over the line that perhaps otherwise wouldn't have done so.
Yeah, it stands you apart. So what else can we do to personalize?
So personalization is one simple avenue of shareable experiences, but you have to think the reason personalization works is because it's one of the things that makes us feel special. It's one of the things that would encourage us to take our phone out and take a picture. Right. So something that I've just done within a program that I'm running at the moment is all of the members will get notebooks that, you know, if I'm going to embody the messages that I give out around shareable experiences, I have to personalize those. So the notebooks are nicely branded for the program that I've created, but they also have the little engraved plaque on the front that has their name on it. Right. Now you might think, gosh, that's a really complicated thing to do. It could even be really expensive. In fact, each one takes 10 minutes of work to order a plate off Etsy, and they've cost a fiver a piece, which is nothing in the grand scheme of things if this is something that I'd want to do to keep members with me long term. So it's about finding the unique elements within your business, and you can only do this when you're taking a look at your process in working with a customer as a whole to see where those opportunities would be.
Yeah.
So another example could be around, what are you doing to capture that moment where someone could be taking a photo of you demonstrating your expertise? So for those people who offer consultancy services or even speak on stage, deliver presentations, what are you doing to make the visual aspects of what you do shareable? What are the things that someone might want to take a photo of? And it could be, for example, even in the experience of offering a particular kind of coffee in the office that is just unique and special. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about finding the unique elements that would encourage someone to share their experience with you. Dentists have been doing this for a number of years, only the really special ones. But there are a number of dentists where their waiting room experience that they offer is something completely unique that separates them from anyone else.
Yeah. And anyone can learn from that because we all have waiting rooms, don't we, in a way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if you don't have physical premises, we all have times where we are expecting our customers to wait for something.
So we've got personalization and creating those unique experiences, what else could we do to be more credible in our marketing?
So another key way that we can do this is something that I call humanize your brand. So we all have people within our business who can offer something unique to the customer experience as well. But we can only do that when we allow them to bring their personality into the interactions that they're having with customers.
Oh, okay.
So we can assess who we have within our teams who are customer facing, and we can see what unique elements they can bring. But we also have to support them in taking risks. I've had a couple of experiences with businesses where I've seen the people working within them clearly following a process, but actually they've been missing an opportunity there to do something a little bit different. So I had one particular experience. I was at a bar having a drink with somebody, and I might come across as quite clumsy in this, but I happened to just knock the drink over with my elbow, and it was entirely my fault. I'd asked for another drink, and the person behind the bar asked if I would pay for it. And of course she did. It was my fault, entirely my fault. And that's exactly what I should expect. But it left a slightly bad taste in that I'd had experiences similar in the past where another drink had just been made and I wasn't asked to pay for it.
Yeah.
And I found this interesting because I think we need to support our team members in taking risks to bring their personality into interactions. We can give them credibility and give shareable experiences by just supporting our team in taking risks rather than expecting them to just follow a process every time.
Yeah, that's a good example. But you mentioned two words there that, for instance, accountants might tremble at. One was personality and another was risk. But you're right, there are personalities. We're all a little bit different. And if we're going to build relationships and create something worth talking about, that does involve a bit of risk, doesn't it?
I think it does. And we shouldn't be afraid of that either. If we are seeing people as being less trustworthy, then we need to take a few more risks if we're to separate ourselves from the other people in our industry.
Yeah. So we've got personalize, we've got humanize. What else do we need to do to be more credible?
So another that I've mentioned in the past is around knowing where people are looking for information about our product, which is positioning our marketing in a way that does make us credible. But here's a really important thing is that one of the mistakes that I see quite often is that we work really hard on our marketing and how we can make that credible. But of course, we have to make sure that the experience that we then give matches up with what we promise within our marketing. And there are going to be a certain level of implied things that build up what people expect about working with us that if the customer experience doesn't match that, then we've got a real problem. And again, it leaves a bad taste with our customers.
It's incongruence, isn't it?
Absolutely right. We have to make sure that it is entirely congruent. I remember when I first took out an office for my business, the experience that I had in the sales meeting was completely different from the first day. And I felt disappointed and I was less than 24 hours in.
Wow. Okay. So in professional services, Nathan, where they're selling something a bit more intangible, you can't really touch and feel it. You've got to beef up the experience, haven't you?
Absolutely right. The key there is it's professional services. Service businesses have far more opportunities, and that's where we should be fortunate. Far more opportunities to be able to personalize things and to be able to add personality into interactions.
Yeah. So we're talking about trust here. A lot of trust is built up when you keep your promises, when you're reliable, when you do what you say you're going to do. How important is that in credibility?
I'd argue it's perhaps the most important thing. You see, there are a certain number of things that we promise within our marketing, and there are certain things that people would just naturally expect in working with a professional organization.
Yeah.
There are certain things that would be expected for you to deliver that if someone wasn't happy, what would you do? You'd either give them their money back or you do everything within your power to make it up to them to make sure that they did have a positive experience. So if that's the case, that gives us all the more reason to be wording those guarantees that we have around what we would do if someone isn't happy, because the guarantees are really important part of our marketing. What we would do if someone wasn't happy, wasn't satisfied, didn't get the results that we were promising, what we would do. And we should word these in such a way that it becomes really, really obvious, because it removes risk from people in the sales situation. If they know that there is a guarantee in place, if they know there's something that will happen in the event that they're not happy, then it removes the risk in work.
That's a really good example, because when things go wrong, as they often will, that's life. Mm-hmm. How you deal with that, like the woman at the bar with the story you just told, that can create an even stronger experience for the client and make them more loyal than they were before.
Absolutely right. So as well as it being more likely that we'll convert that prospect into a sale, we stand a much greater chance of keeping them as a customer longer term as well when they know they have this guarantee behind them.
Yeah, you bring up another great point there, that if you create a great experience for your client, clients and they trust you, A, they're more likely to stay with you longer, so they'll be more loyal, but B, they'll be more likely to refer and recommend and talk about you. And that's where this starts to have real currency and ROI, isn't it?
Absolutely right. And you'll know as well as I do that a referral is much easier to make if someone has a story to tell about you.
Yeah.
And the story could just be how they removed all the worry and the potential for risk from the conversations that you'd had.
Mm. So what are the, some of the things that companies get wrong when they try and market themselves and be a bit different? And I could put accountants in there, but I guess it, that would apply to anyone, wouldn't it?
It does. And there's one that applies to accountants as well as any other kind of business. And it does fit into this topic of credibility, which is that we do have a habit naturally when we're describing what we do and what our organizations do to just look at the features, to look at here's when we were established as a business, here are the awards that we've won, here are all the reasons why we are special, rather than talking about the customer and the potential problems and opportunities that they face in their lives or their businesses. And as service providers, that is our responsibility, that is our role. That's the reason they spend their hard-earned pennies with us, is because we're going to fix a problem or provide a solution to an opportunity for them. So that's how our marketing is more effective, is by explaining exactly what problems we solve as service providers.
But what I see in professional services particularly is that everyone's making the same claims. Everyone's making the same promises. Everyone's got the same values. We are big on integrity. We are professional. We are client focused. We are proactive. We are reliable and honest. But when everyone's saying the same things, where is the differentiation in that?
You're right. We have to find our uniqueness, our genuine uniqueness. And the way we answer this question is, what can I say about myself that genuinely no one else can say? Mm. Because you're right. When you see about pages on websites, they all tend to say what makes us different is that we have excellent customer service, or we're, and I hate to use the phrase, but we are big enough to cope and we're small enough to care. It's so cliched, it's so hackneyed.
Yeah.
And yet we see those kinds of phrases so often. We do need to genuinely answer the question of what makes us unique. Mm. So it could be that the service that you deliver is similar to your competitors, but perhaps your guarantee is different. Perhaps what you'll do in the event that someone is unhappy is not only will you give them their money back, but you'll also give them £100 for the trouble.
Yeah.
Now that might seem scary to the accountants who are thinking, gosh, how many people might claim on that and we'd have to be paying out all these £100. I can understand that kind of mindset to it, but also how many customers might you win? How many happy customers might you keep as a result of having a guarantee that's a little bit different?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I did a TEDx talk called The Personal Brand of You and came up with the concept of the red box. And in the gray box is everything you do that your competition also do. And it's probably 99% of things. But what's in the red box? That's the stuff that your competition find it very difficult to copy or claim, very hard to replicate or duplicate. And that's the edge that you're talking about here.
It is. And we have to stay ahead of the competition as well, because we've seen several industries in the past where someone does something unique and then that gets copied by all the other businesses within that industry. Mobile phones being a particularly good example. Yeah. But whenever someone does something to break the mold within an industry, it gets copied very, very quickly and we have to find something new. So we always have to stay ahead.
What's some of the touch points in the customer client journey, Nathan, where accountants or anyone could affect the experience, the emotion?
You have it within your marketing in the visual brand that you put out there.
The early stages.
You have that first contact, that first initial point where someone makes contact with you. Let's be honest, they could be talking to 2, 3, 4, 5 other people within the space of an hour, asking the same questions. Who are you? How much will it cost? What services can you provide? That's a unique point where we can do something a little bit different. So it could just be in the personality of the conversation. If you have a team member, as we've said, supporting them in taking risks to add their personality into those conversations. But I think the real key one is at the point at which a client tells you they're most happy. And this is an opportunity for you to be able to get a referral, of course, but it's also an opportunity to take that up another notch and add something into the experience there at the point at which they tell you they're really happy with the service that you've provided, to do something even further to take it that extra step.
That's what we call a moment of truth, isn't it?
Absolutely right, yeah.
What could you do at that point to take it up a notch?
So if they're already really happy, a gift could make them even happier. And it's the simplest thing, but if you can create a gift that would be personalized, we can start to embody more of these principles that we're talking about here. A personalized gift that's based on perhaps a conversation you've had where you just noted down something about them that they might have thought was completely inconsequential, and yet you noted it down for future reference. if you can create a habit of doing those kinds of things, it gives you more ammo to be able to use later on to be able to create these shareable experiences.
Yeah. Credibility marketing, it's not just corporate marketing. This is for personal branding purposes, isn't it? To make an accountant rather than just an accounting firm stand out. It's you and your relationship.
Absolutely. And the only way you can do this is by knowing the value of a client to you, and particularly the lifetime value rather than just the first particular sale that you have, because that will help you to start realizing how much you might be prepared to spend or invest, as I prefer to use as a phrase, in something like this that could keep that customer for longer and have them talking about you for years and years to come.
Yeah. This is great, Nathan. If people want to find out more about this fascinating topic of credibility marketing, what's a good way for them to reach out?
My website is nathanlittleton.co.uk, and I'd love to connect with anyone who's listening on LinkedIn.
And you can help accountants as much as you can help anyone, because I guess more than anyone, they need this stuff, right?
Absolutely. I've worked with a number of accountants in the past, would love to work with more in the future.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, Nathan, would you leave us with a bit of encouragement or advice for the professionals listening that do want to stand out a little bit more and make more of a difference with their clients?
Absolutely. I would ask you and invite you to look at your business and your organization and what genuinely makes you different from your competition. And if you identify what that is, shout about it from the roots.
That's fantastic. Nathan, really appreciate your time today.
Great to be with you, Rob.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.